It was gratitude that caused a gray-headed old man bent over to visit a broken pier on the eastern seacoast of Florida every Friday night. He did so until he died in 1973, and he came with a bucket of shrimp. And seagulls would flock to this old man, and he would feed them from his bucket. Many years before, in 1942, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker was on a mission in his B-17. He was trying to get an important message to General Douglas MacArthur, and he was traveling towards New Guinea. But he and his companions on the plane with him lost contact with all radio signals. And becoming dangerously out of fuel, they had to abort their plane. And here they were in the ocean. In the ocean for a month, on rafts trying to survive. In 8 days, they ran out of rations. And there was the heat and the sunshine. And at nighttime, there were the sharks. Sharks larger than the largest raft that they had, 9x5. Sharks over 10 feet long that were trying to pierce their raft. And they wondered how they were going to survive. And it was on one afternoon, after they were out of rations, that when one of the men in his raft had finished a prayer and they'd had a service to God asking for deliverance, that Eddie had pulled his hat down, tried to block the sun and the glare and the heat, and he felt something on the top of his head. And he knew at that moment it was a seagull. And his companions knew it, and they knew what it meant. It meant that if somehow Eddie could capture that seagull, that maybe they would have some food. And he did. And they ate the flesh of that bird, and they used the rest of it to fish with. And the rest is history. They lived a month on the sea on rafts before they were rescued. And so that's what prompted this old man for the rest of his life, after his life had kind of come to an end, to walk down that old pier on a Friday night and feed the seagulls. It was as if manna had come in the wilderness. It was because of Thanksgiving. We are about to celebrate in our country a holiday that I think means a great deal to all of us. And it's significant. And I don't always preach about Thanksgiving before Thanksgiving, but today we're going to talk about reasons we can give thanks to God. I think it's important because just as we sang that song, Count Your Blessings, when we concentrate on the things that God has done for us, it's amazing how all of the problems in life seem to vanish in some way, at least in our hearts and minds. And we come together to remember what Jesus did on the cross. And we recognize because of what he did there and because he rose from the dead, that no matter what happens in this life, we have eternal life waiting for us. We have the feelings of forgiveness and acceptance in the kingdom of God. We have the forgiveness of our Heavenly Father, even in the midst of all of our sins and transgressions. We truly have great reasons to be thankful. And so we're going to talk about some of those things today. And I think when we do that, we will be blessed and God will be glorified. As I was studying for this lesson, I found a verse. And it's funny how that happens, how you find a verse. Just keep reading the Bible and you'll find verses. Even one verse that maybe you had overlooked that is very inspirational for your life spiritually. And I think since I discovered this verse, it may be my new favorite verse, at least for now. It's Psalm 116 and verse 12. Here's what it says. Psalm 116, verse 12. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What shall I render? What does that mean? Now, I looked up this word for render, and I found that this particular word in the original text is used 1,066 times in the King James Versions. And 391 times it means return. 248 times it means again. 123 times it is used as the word turn, but the definition of this word is to return, to turn back, to return again. What shall I render to the Lord? What shall I return to Him? What shall I give back to Him for all of the things, all of the benefits that He has given me? Now, here's what's also interesting in that verse. I also looked up that word, which really becomes a phrase from the Hebrew, for benefits, for all of His benefits. And guess how many times it is used in Scripture? Render 1,066 times for all His benefits. This is the only time. The only time in all of Scripture this exact phrase is used for all of His benefits. And that reminds me that even one blessing from God is worth 1,066 back from me. God is good to us. This is what the verse means. Is it possible for us to ever thank God enough? And I believe that the answer is no. And that is why we see in the vision of heaven, the book of Revelation, an eternal praise and thanksgiving to God in our future, where we will surround the throne and the Lamb will be there, and the God of all creation and the Holy Spirit and all His saints and all of the heavenly hosts will be there praising His name forever and ever. Because when we begin to reap the joys of heaven, we will see that there's never going to be a time when we will cease in our desire to give thanks to the Lord. Is the idea of thanksgiving in the Bible? Well, we could probably look at Luke 17 and talk about the 10 men that had leprosy that Jesus healed. Remember the story. Remember only that one gave thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus says in that context, where are the nine? In other words, everyone who receives blessings ought to also render thanksgiving. But is the idea of thanksgiving in the Bible? Well, are you ready? Here we go. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You won't be able to follow along. I'm just going to list these off. Philippians 4 and verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Psalm 107 verse 1, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Psalm 7 and verse 17, I will give to the Lord thanks because of His righteousness and sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Ephesians 5 and verse 20, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. Psalm 50 and verse 14, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Perform your vows to the Most High. Isaiah 12, starting in verse 1, I will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away that you might comfort me. God is my salvation. I trust Him. I will not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and song and has become my salvation. Colossians 3 and verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Hebrews 13 and verse 15, through Him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, but thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him in every place. Psalm 136 and verse 1, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. I have three more pages of verses like this, and I could go on and on, and they're here. But I think we understand that the Bible is full of the idea that we give thanks to God. And we do it all of the time. It's not something that we do once a year on some holiday that our nation has created, but it's something that is supposed to be a part of our lifestyle, a part of our attitude. And God has blessed us so much, and so we have so many things to be thankful for that we could never run out of things to say. How many of you that came and participated in the 24 hours of prayer, when you had your hour finished up, ran out of time? You run out of time. It's really an interesting thing. You come down here and you have this stack of cards to pray about, but what happens is you you pray about those things, and something that someone has written on a card prompts you to say something else to the Lord as you have that conversation with Him. And before you know it, you can't get through the stack of cards. Your hour is up, and you realize that you could have prayed for another hour and perhaps another hour. And we really think about all the things that sometimes are on our mind, in our hearts, that we need to have a conversation with God about. I'm going to give you two things to walk away with today. The first is a list of suggestions on how to offer thanksgiving to God, at least with regard to some subject matter, that when you think about God, these are the reasons why you should thank Him because of who He is. And the second is going to be reasons personally that we can be thankful to God. So first, how do we offer thanksgiving to God because of who He is? Number one, we thank God because He is good. Because of His goodness. Psalm 31, verses 19 and 20, this is a psalm of King David, and it's a cry of deliverance. Deliverance from trouble. David found himself in a lot of trouble from time to time because he had many enemies, and he was a warrior for God. The passage is also laced with expressions of thanksgiving, declarations about the goodness of God. So we think for a moment just about His goodness. Oh, how great is Your goodness, He says in verse 19, which You have laid up for those who fear You, which You have prepared for those who trust in You in the presence of the sons of men. You shall hide them in the secret place of Your presence from the plots of man. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the accusation of their tongue. So David, a person who was often in conflict, often in war, often needing a place of refuge, found that refuge in God. He often called Him his stronghold, his tower, his rock, the place in which he could find strength and deliverance and hope and protection. David felt these things and he understood these things because God protected him and took care of him in his hour of need. And because of that, he saw the goodness of God. If we just step back for a minute and we think about who God is and what He has done, and we look at the blessings that we've received, and we see how with equity He spreads those blessings to all of us in different ways, and how He sent His Son to die for us, regardless of race or culture or background or social status, God is good. He's good to His people whom He has created, and for that we can be thankful. Another reason why we could thank God is because, or how we could thank God, I mean to say, is you give God everything that you have. If you're going to give thanksgiving to God, you praise Him with your whole self. Now, when you come into the worship, when you think about worship, and when you're preparing for worship on a Sunday morning, for example, and you get out of bed, and maybe you get your morning coffee and have breakfast, and if you have children, you get them ready. But somewhere along the line, I believe something is supposed to be going on in our mind in preparation for what we're about to be involved with. Do you feel that happen when Sunday morning comes around? There's an anticipation. I even feel it on Saturday evening, knowing that I'm the next day going to enter into the house of God, and I'm going to worship Him, and there's going to be singing, and there's going to be prayer, and the Scriptures will be read, and we'll partake of the Lord's Supper, and we'll give of our means, and we'll hear a message from His Word, and we'll be encouraged. And the anticipation of that begins to go through my mind, and I begin to think about what I'm going to give God on that day. Do you ever feel that? And did you feel that this morning, thinking about, okay, I have this anticipation of worship? Because worship is engaging with other Christians in an effort to give God the glory and honor that is due His name. It's really a quite fascinating set of circumstances. And we have someone come up and they lead us in song. And we try to come together as a congregation to praise God as a group effort, I guess you would say, to give the glory that is due His name. And the point I want to make is simply this. If we have come to praise God, then we should leave nothing out that involves effort or heart or mind. We think about that great command, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So praise God with your whole self. Psalm 95 says, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. To shout joyfully. That reminds me that many times in worship, we are not giving God the honor that is due his name. We kind of mumble the words a little bit, and I don't want anybody to sing too loud, and that guy over there, he's singing out of tune, and you know, we have all those things in our mind for some weird reason. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Now, some people have said, well, you know, since I can't sing, I just make a joyful noise. And I've heard that over the years. But what does that mean? And what does God really want from us when we come to worship? I was thinking this morning that God has never heard a note in the history of Christian worship. He's only heard a heart. He's never really heard a note. The notes, I guess, are for us to organize those songs and to put music to them. But if you look at the old ways in which the church first worshiped, they really worshiped in a chant type of style, and the music maybe was not that aesthetically pleasing to the people that were involved. It was so much about God and so little about man that the notes didn't matter. And my favorite singers in the church are not the ones with the best voices. They're the ones with the brightest faces and the greatest amount of desire to give God the glory that is due his name. Yesterday, at about 3 p.m. Eastern time, I was standing in the birthplace of our nation. I was in Philadelphia in Independence Hall. And I don't know how many of you have ever been to Independence Hall, but it really is the birthplace of our nation, because it was there that those first congressional meetings were held before there was a Congress. And it was there that they chose for George Washington to preside, and he accepted. And it was there that they signed the Declaration of Independence. And it was there that they drafted the Constitution. It was there that 100 years after the birth of our nation, Susan B. Anthony came in and she declared the rights that were supposed to be available to women. And the point that I'm making is this: people made sacrifices because they were passionate about something. And they gave everything that they had in order to express the importance of what they were trying to accomplish. And I thought to myself that in a sense, you know, to America, Independence Hall is kind of holy ground. That place represents an idea where these men came together, and sometimes women came, and they declared the things that they were passionate about. And they were willing to protest and to shout. How much more should our praise to God be a joyful shout over what we are passionate about? And if we're not more passionate about the cross than anything else, then maybe there's something that's not right in our hearts or in our minds. So we ought to praise God with our whole self. And we ought to rejoice in him. Psalm 100 does say, make a joyful noise to the Lord. And that word means shout, noise, alarm, cry. It's a mixture of love, and it's a mixture of passion, and I believe that's what worship is meant to be. We should never really sit through a song service and say, boy, everyone just wasn't singing very well today. We should be singing so well that we could almost not hear ourselves sing because of those that are around us, singing praises to God. I want to encourage you to, after our 4:30 service tonight, go to that singing that's at Sycamore and make a joyful noise to the Lord and gather together with other Christians and thank God for everything he's done. I think you'll be blessed by that. Another reason we could praise God, and another way that we ought to praise God, Psalm 107 says, give thanks to the Lord because he is good, because his love endures forever. And then verses 8 and 9, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love, his redeeming love, the wonderful deeds he has done for mankind. He satisfies the thirsty. He fills the hungry with good things. We praise God because of redemption. He's a redeeming God. He's bought us back with the blood of Christ. We glorify him for his greatness. We recognize his splendor. I was looking at the word for splendor. In the New King James Version, it's rendered splendor, talking about the splendor of God. But the word in the King James is the word comeliness. Now, maybe you've never heard that word. It's an old English type of word. But specifically, it means the magnificence of. And it even can refer to something that is an ornament. And I thought that in my mind. I rolled that through my mind for a while, and I thought about that time of the year where people put their trees up and they put out ornaments. And the ornaments are supposed to make the tree more beautiful, but they're also supposed to kind of give sparkle and light to the room. And what's that saying about God is that He brings that spark to our lives. He has a light that comes from Him that changes everything in the room. And we magnify Him and we praise Him for that. He is the light of the world that gives light to our hearts and hope to our spirits as we think about eternity. Now, very quickly, there are a few reasons why we can talk about being thankful. One is that our physical needs are met. You know, everyone here today comes in and you all have clothes on your backs and you all have food on your table. You all have a roof over your head. And I was thinking about how thankful I am on a cold day that it's nice and warm in here. Sometimes we might even complain about the temperature being too hot or too cold. That is a first world problem, isn't it? That we would worry about those things. We really have everything that we could ever want or need. And a few hundred years after the inception of this country, we are standing on the shoulders of people that made the sacrifice that we could have the blessings of comfort and convenience that we have. There are none of us here in this room today that really wants for anything. There are people in the world that do want for many things, even the necessities of life. We're reminded of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, that if God clothes the grass and if He feeds the sparrows, that He'll take care of us, and therefore we ought to have faith. One writer in a book entitled God Isn't in a Hurry wrote this. He said, I felt for a long time that one of the particular temptations of a maturing Christian is the danger of getting accustomed to their blessings. Like the world traveler who has been everywhere and seen everything, the maturing Christian is in danger of taking his blessings for granted and getting so accustomed to them that they fail to excite him as they once did. He said that Emerson once said that if the stars came out only once a year, everybody would stay up all night to look at them. But we've seen the stars so often we don't bother to look at them anymore because we have grown accustomed to their beauty. The Israelites in the wilderness got accustomed to their blessings. God had to chasten them. He had to discipline them because of their complaining. He had fed the nation with manna every day. He brought quail into the camp, and people got tired of it. In fact, they said, our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. That's what they said. That's quoting the Israelites. Nothing but manna. Now, they were experiencing a miracle from God that He would provide for them. Manna, bread from heaven. And Jesus even likened Himself to that same bread, that life-giving bread that came from heaven. See, one of the evidences that we have grown accustomed to our blessings is the spirit of criticism and complaining. Instead of thanking God for what we have, we complain about it and tell Him we wish we had something else. Now, you can be sure that if God did give us what we asked for, we'd probably eventually complain about that. And so it's really not in God, but it's in us. It's in us that needs the heart of thanksgiving and being grateful and showing appreciation for the things that we often have come accustomed to, that because there's not something new and something shiny and something like somebody else has, we seem disgruntled and discouraged and depressed. I believe that one of the reasons why God brings us together on the first day of the week to worship is so we can remember that we're blessed. And so we can get our hearts in the right place and we can go about serving Him on a daily basis, that our hearts would be glad. Coming into the worship of our Lord should bring gladness and joy. It should bring us peace. It should bring us fulfillment and an understanding that there's not anything really in the world that is not at our feet. And specifically those spiritual blessings that go beyond this world that give us comfort when everything else is breaking down. So we thank God for the fact that we just have those regular things. We thank God for our families. This is that time of year where we spend more time with our families. And, you don't get to choose the family that you were born into. And let's face it, we all have different types of personalities. We have strengths and weaknesses. We have some family members that are maybe strong in the Lord. We may have others that don't know the Lord. And sometimes the holidays are very stressful because we're going to end up surrounding ourselves with people that we barely see a couple of times a year. They might come into our house, we may come into theirs. We may stay longer than they want us to stay. They may stay longer than we want them to stay, right? Sometimes it happens that way just because of personalities and relationships and maybe broken relationships that are kind of working on repair and choices that people make that kind of divide families and hurt situations. But God has given us these families, and we're supposed to be working out those relationships. And I think about the people in my family that I've looked so forward to spending time with. And I'm thankful for the fact that I have those type of people in my life. And then, of course, we can thank God for our freedom and for peace. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence." 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, look upon that text and you'll see four words. Four words about prayer. There is the word supplication, there's the word prayer, there's the word intercession, and there's the word giving of thanks, thanksgiving. They're all four separate words, but they all have to do with a prayer that we perform before our God. And here's what each word means. The word supplication means to entreat on the basis of need. It's almost to beg or to plead God for the things that we need to have provided for us to get by. They could be spiritual supplications, they could be physical supplications, but there is a recognition of the fact that we are not enough on our own, and we have a God that we need desperately, that we need every hour. That's a supplication. And then we have the word for prayer, which is the most common word to discuss prayer in the New Testament, but it means actually a prayer of worship. And sometimes it actually even referred to the place in which prayer was being held, the synagogue, a place of worship, where the emphasis is setting aside the practice to pray. And I thought about how appropriate that was once I put that into the context of our 24 hours of prayer. A decision was made, you see, that we were going to set forth a specific time to do nothing else but pray. And God wants us to do that, to simply involve that particular part of our worship in prayer and talking to the Lord. The third word is the word intercession. And this is what this word means. In the original text, it means a falling in with, a meeting with, or a coming together. It could mean a conference or a conversation or even an interview. So an intercession in this particular sense means that there is a closeness of a relationship that we're supposed to share with our God, that when we pray to Him, we are having a conversation. And I remember Brother William Woodson, who was such a brilliant man, who would forget more about the Bible than I will ever know, saying on a particular occasion when talking about prayer, the simple statement, when we pray, we talk to God. Now, that's not very difficult, isn't it? Can you talk? Can you simply talk to God? That's a conversation. And the intercession also is available because Jesus, as our mediator, intercedes for us, that we can have that conversation with God because of the blood that He shed that has allowed us to enter behind that veil into the presence of our Heavenly Father. Our last word there in 1 Timothy chapter 2 is a word that means thanksgiving. It's a word, Eucharista. You ever thought about the Eucharist? Sometimes in some traditional ideas in Christendom, talking about, of course, specifically those things that are connected to the death of Jesus. But it's an expression of gratitude for the blessings that we have received from God. So supplication, prayer, intercession, and thanksgiving. These are things that we offer to our God. Finally, we thank God for our Christian family. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing mind your work and faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of God our Father. We can thank God for the church, for our spiritual family. I know that if it weren't for the church, I would be lost. I wouldn't have the friendships and the relationships that I need to be strong in the Lord and to work in His kingdom and get to heaven. We can thank Him for His word, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. And we can thank Him for the ultimate deliverance that we have in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 55 through 57 says, "Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have so much to be thankful for. I want to end with a thought that I had from this week that I appreciate. A good friend of mine, Ryan Risher, many of you know him. He worships with us occasionally, and he was a member here for a time until he got married, and now they worship up West End up in Livingston. But he had posted something on Facebook this week that I thought was a really great statement, and he was talking about this time that he was worshiping at Willow, and that perhaps the greatest lesson that he ever heard or saw was not from the pulpit, but was from a man who came to worship every time the doors were open. And you remember this man, he came well-dressed, as well-dressed as he knew how to be out of respect to the Lord. That was his reasonable service, he felt. And he came bent over, and he came with an oxygen tank, and he came into his early 90s, and he worshiped right down here. You know who I'm talking about, don't you? And you would look over him all bent over, and if you looked, you would see him singing with all of his heart. And he would wear the contraptions that we have to try and help you that have hearing issues to hear a little better, because he wanted to hear the preaching of God's word. It was Newton Gribble he was talking about. And Ryan saw him, and he saw his worship, and he saw who he wanted to be spiritually. A person that was so in love with God that he got on that pier, and he walked down, and he fed shrimp to the seagulls, you see. He never forgot, even in his old age, what God had done for him. He was thankful for that one who made the ultimate sacrifice so that he could live. And I thought about what Ryan said, and I was thinking that's how we're all supposed to be, I believe. I think that's why we're here, and I think that's our goal in really giving thanksgiving to God. What shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits to me? I submit to you that the answer to that is everything. I render everything, my heart, my soul, my mind, my very life. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live, the psalmist said. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Psalm 104 and verse 33. We have a great God. He loves us so much. He's done everything for us, and he deserves our thanksgiving and our praise. So I hope that you have a great week with your family as you do that. And now, as you think about your relationship with God, I ask you, have you given everything to him? Are you a Christian? Have you been immersed in water for the remission of your sins so that you can be a part of the church? If not, why not make that commitment today? Give everything to him. All that really means is coming, believing, repenting, confessing, and really just rendering your life to God, allowing him to be the Lord of your life and deciding that for the rest of your life, it's going to belong to him. And if you're a Christian and you're struggling and you need to recommit yourself, there's no better time than now to show God that you have thanks for his patience with you than to come and ask for the prayers of the church so that you might be right with him again. God is so good to us. Let us render all that we have. If you have a need to come forward this morning, won't you come as together we stand and sing?